Welcome, friends. I'm Shahe Jurgen, and this is Landmark Q&A. At Christian Landmark, we believe the Bible holds the answers to life's greatest questions. Today's questions are associated with a sermon posted to ChristianLandmark.com on June 6, 2016. The sermon was delivered by Jerry Dickinson at the 2016 Mid-Missouri Study, and it deals with the issue of misogyny in the Bible. The word misogyny means the hatred of women. One of the attacks made against the morality of the Bible deals with the treatment or mistreatment of women. In his sermon, Jerry ably presents a very different picture than that which is painted by the atheists and skeptics of our time. Jerry proves two vitally important ideas. One, men, even men who are sometimes praised for their righteousness, have mistreated women. But two, God has always sought to protect and honor women. These ideas are important. When Bible students read about Abraham lying to Pharaoh or David killing Uriah, we don't assume that means God condones falsehoods and murder. Rather, we recognize that men sin and fail to follow God. These examples are written for our learning and admonition, and they also help to show the stark contrast between the shortcomings of humanity and the perfect life of Jesus Christ. So when we read about Lot trying to give his daughters over to vile sodomites in Genesis 19, or the concubine who was sexually assaulted and killed in Judges 20, we know these are the actions of men, not the decrees and wishes of God. Jerry's sermon proves this well, and if you haven't watched it or listened to it yet, I strongly encourage you to do so. Jerry's second major premise, that God seeks to protect and honor women, is one which deserves some further attention. There are several passages in the Bible, especially in the Old Testament, which some use to allege that men are not the only ones guilty of mistreating women. Indeed, God himself considers women second-class citizens, and the scriptures consequently subjugate and oppress women. Today's Landmark Q&A will deal with a few questions pertaining to this issue. Question number one, does the 10th commandment make women equal to cattle? God said to Moses in Exodus 20 and verse 17, "You shall not covet your neighbor's house, you shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his male servant, nor his female servant, nor his ox, nor his donkey, nor anything that is your neighbor's." The allegation against this verse states that a man's wife is considered one of his possessions on the same level as his home, his servants, and his livestock. Therefore, in the eyes of God, women are no different than cattle. Honest students of the Bible know that this allegation is false. From the very beginning of humanity's existence, God has decreed equal value and worth between the sexes. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. He created them, Genesis 1:27. If God sees men and women as equal in worth, what's going on here with the 10th commandment? Well, according to the JPS Torah commentary on Exodus, the Hebrew word for house here means household. The following six items, starting with one's wife and ending with anything that is your neighbor's, listed in decreasing order of importance or worth, constitute the components of the household. In other words, it's not that wife and cattle are equal, but both are part of the larger sphere of the home, the wife being the most preeminent and listed first, as she is the most necessary part of said home. When this command is restated by Moses, the order is modified, where wife is listed first and separate from the household. Deuteronomy 5:21 says, "You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, and you shall not desire your neighbor's house, his field, his male servant, his female servant, his ox, his donkey, or anything that is your neighbor's." Far from being equal to cattle, God places women first in priority and preeminence when considering the home. Our second question is, does the Old Testament endorsement of bride prices reinforce the idea of women as property? The Holman Illustrated Bible Dictionary gives the following definition to dowry or bride price, quote, "A marriage present that ensured the new wife's financial security against the possibility of her husband forsaking her or dying. The husband-to-be or his father paid the dowry or bride price to the bride's father to be kept for the bride. The bride could protest if her father used the dowry for other purposes, end quote. Far from presenting the idea of women as property, the bride price is an incredible concept taught in the Old Testament, which assures the livelihood of a new wife. A similar practice in ancient Israel, which seems barbaric to modern thinkers, is levirate marriage. If a woman's husband died, his brother had the responsibility to marry her so that she was not left forsaken. Both bride prices and levirate marriage were designed by God to ensure women, especially widows, would not be left desolate. It was uncommon, though certainly not impossible, for women to work outside the home in Israel. We know it happened because Solomon speaks of the virtuous woman who buys property, manages a vineyard, manufactures a clothing line, and brings her products to market, Proverbs 31:10-29. But all too often, widows struggled, so God ordained the bride price and levirate marriage as a social safety net. God also repeatedly rebuked Israel for neglecting widows. Deuteronomy 27:19 says, "Cursed is the one who perverts the justice due the stranger, the fatherless, and widow." And God is described in Psalm 68 and verse 5 as a father of the fatherless, a defender of widows, is God in his holy habitation. Question number 3. Why couldn't women participate in the priesthood of Israel? And why can't women be preachers in the church? Although God sees as equal the worth of men and women, he's not precluded from assigning them varying roles. This has been true since the beginning, when God created man first and gave him the position of leadership in the home, then created the woman as man's helper. For more on this, you can see Genesis 2:18 and 1 Corinthians 11:2-16. Not every Israelite was a prophet, a position held by both men and women, but every Israelite was worthy of God's blessings if they were faithful. Not every Israelite was a judge, a position held by both men and at least one woman, but every Israelite had a place in God's covenant. Even among the males in Israel, not everyone could be a priest. God chose a single family to serve in that function, but that doesn't mean God hates or disdains Benjamites, Reubenites, or Gadites. Just because women could not be priests does not mean God hates women. The same is true in the church. The Apostle Paul wrote that Christ gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, Ephesians 4:11. I can never be an apostle because one qualification for admittance into the apostolic order is being an eyewitness of the resurrection of Christ, according to Acts 1:21 and 22. Does this mean God loves me less than he loved Peter? Does Christ's death do less for me than it did for John? Certainly not. God gives different roles to different people. He has ordained that men who meet certain qualifications may serve as bishops or elders, according to 1 Timothy 3:1-7 and Titus 1:5-9. He's ordained that some serve as deacons, others as evangelists, some as husbands who lead their families, others as wives who support their husbands and keep their homes, others as parents who raise children in the Lord. Different roles, yes, but equal to God in worth. Before subscribing to the hostile words of modern skeptics and critics of the Bible, step back to consider the overall testimony of Scripture on these types of issues. This certainly applies to the treatment of women, as it does to what the Bible teaches about slavery, racism, marriage, and modesty, all of which have been discussed in presentations at ChristianLandmark.com. Never allow the smooth words of the infidel to persuade you that they know more about the Bible than faithful men and women who have dedicated their lives to studying and living by the Word of God. I'm Shahe Jurgen, inviting you to join us next week for another question answered on Landmark Q&A.